Blog Talk Radio.
I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. For this is the day that the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. You're tuned to Time to Talk About It with your host, Pastor G.W. Chipper Porter, coming to you from the beautiful city of Orlando, Florida, where right about now it's raining here. Yes, and it looks a little gloomy out, but nevertheless, it's still the day that the Lord has made, and I am rejoicing and being excited. Exceedingly glad in it. I'm so glad to be with you, and you again today. Yes, I'm happy to be with you. You know what? I would love for you to call me at 347-857-3925. Call me before we go off the air. 347-857-3925. I'm waiting to hear from you, no matter where you are. I'm waiting to hear from you. Yes, I am. And I need you to call me. That will encourage me a little bit more. Yes, it will. Hallelujah. And you and I can praise the Lord for what he's done for you while you were listening to this broadcast and all that God has done for you. Yes. I know he's doing it right now for you. Doesn't matter what part of the earth you're in, God is doing it for you right now. Yes, if you have a listening ear, I'm telling you he's doing it because he's whispering in your ear. Isn't that wonderful? All praise God. Thank you. Amen. I'm sending you all my love today, yes, and my prayers. And I'm soliciting your prayers also today, that you pray for me and my family also. Thank God for Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Now we're going to just pray for a few people right out this time, because there's so many people to pray for. It would take us several days to try to go through so many people, but we're just going to pray for. We're going to start with the people that are injured, and this woman wanted us to pray for her son that was shot in Las Vegas, Luca. We pray for him today, that God will touch him and get him, bring him out of that critical condition. And all the others that are in critical condition today, we are praying for them, and we're going to continue to pray for them in our prayers. Is it not so? Yes, you are today. Yes. Father God, in Jesus' name, right now, Father, we are praying for all those that have been injured, those critically injured and not so critical. We are praying for them, Lord, for this catastrophe that they've went through, God, they've gone through, God, and the devastation that they've seen with their eyes and they'll never forget. Father, I'm asking in Jesus' name, comfort these people, Lord God. Lord, and as you comfort them, those, Lord, that is nearest you, Father God, bring them in, God, to see the light that you are about to come and come back again. Father, in Jesus' name, that you want to save them and set them free. Father, in the name of Jesus, we ask that you touch each and every one. Touch the ones that have lost their loved ones, Lord God. Touch them right now, God, that's going through that grieving time. Father, they need your help right now, Father. Help them through this hour, God. Oh, Father, in Jesus' name, Lord, lift them up today, God. Bring them out of that dark place that they're in, Father. In the mighty name of Jesus, we give you praise, honor, and glory for all that you're doing at this hour, Father, and those that are here, Lord God, right now. Lord, we're praying for them, Lord, those that have gone through devastation also in Puerto Rico, in Mexico City, in the other cities that there's fires and what have you, and earthquakes and all these things that are going on. Father, in Jesus' name today, we ask you right now, Holy Father, to touch and deliver, Father. They need a touch right now, Father God, in the name of Jesus. Father, we're going to pray continually, Father, for America, God, for all the other trouble spots of the universe. We are going to pray for them right now at this hour, Father, in the name of Jesus, God. Bless them, Lord, immensely. Bless them in a special way right now, Father, that's going through so much turmoil and pain, God, in the name of Jesus, Father. For God, we all go through pain sometime or another. But Father, this is a little over the board. Father, in Jesus' name, they need help. And we can help them through praying for them, God. Oh, Lord, if we can get supplies, Father God, Lord, let us send supplies if we can, Lord, in the name of Jesus right now, Holy Father. In Jesus' mighty name we pray, Lord God. And we thank you, God, for all these blessings today. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. God is good. God is good, God is good, God is good, God is good. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, today, God, for touching your people, God, right now. Lord, it makes you want to pray all day, don't it? Mm-hmm. Praise God, because you should keep a prayer on your lips. And listen, with this another tornado or hurricane is making up in the ocean, should be hitting ground sometime between now and Sunday. We don't know what to expect. So this is time for us to really fall on our knees or lay prostrate any way you pray. You can sit up in the chair, don't matter, stand up on your feet, don't make no difference, but make it your business to pray. Do a prayer right now, and I don't mean a 10-cent prayer. I mean pray like you want heaven to open up right now, just for you too, because you don't know what's coming near you at this time. And you know people's minds are just failing them. I call it failing them because they done lost their mind doing the dumb stuff they doing, shooting up a whole lot of people. You know, some for no reason, some they think they have a reason that ain't a reason. And all these things are going on. So listen, let's pray more, you know, sincerely. You know, we've been praying 2-cent prayers before, but now let's pray sincerely, you know. Pray that God will move, not just on these tornadoes and what have you, but that he will move in his peace and his love and his grace today. That's the way you want to see God move, right? Hallelujah. I know I do. Praise God. But if he come this way, I'm going this way too. I have no choice doing. Praise God. But to endure whatever comes about. Yes, yes, yes. Hallelujah. But let's do this. The day may look gloomy because of the clouds, but let us have sunshine in our hearts. Amen. Amen. That we can brighten somebody's day. Okay? Amen. Amen. All right, let me give you a little word that I usually give you a word every time right now. He who would be great must be fervent in his prayers. Fearless in his principles, firm in his purpose, and faithful in his promise. He who would be great must be fervent in his prayers, fearless in his principles, firm in his purpose, and faithful in his promise. Oh, yes, indeed. I thank God for that today. I thank God for everything. I thank God for the good and the bad and the indifferent too. I thank God for the times, you know, when you don't feel so good. I thank God for it. How about you? Do you think? I've been thanking for it because I'm still alive. You see, I'm still perky. And I still got a reasonable portion of my right mind. Praise God. Why I say that? Because there's some that say I'm not in my right mind. So I just tell you, I have a reasonable portion of my right mind. Okay? Amen, amen. We thank God for Pastor Sharon here with us again today. Bless God. We thank God for it. And, you know, our listeners, you know, the listeners, those that can listen, are still able to. I know that some electric is out and they can't, so we ask God to help them get the electric back on, too, for their cooking purposes, too, and air conditioning. You know, we so spoiled by these air conditioners, aren't we? And them lights went out, we was in bad shape. I mean, you talk about complaining. Oh, my God. Hallelujah. Everybody complained. People that didn't complain, complained. Praise the Lord. But, you know, God brought us out of that little thing. And those that still like that, we want to try to do what we can to help them. Is that right? All right. Now, tell me, you can call in. If you're going to try to help somebody, wherever they are, call the number. 347-857-3925, and let us know, you know, that you're going to try to help. You know, we are getting supplies up to get over there to the islands. Now we're getting up stuff around here. Now we got our house pile up full of stuff people have been donating. You know, and you know, I like to do stuff to help somebody, because when I get down, I want somebody to help me. How about you? Don't you want that too? All right, we were talking about how good and pleasant it is for brethren to dwell in unity. Okay, we were talking about that. That's what the scripture was saying. We started in Psalms 133 yesterday, the former broadcast. Okay, now today we're going on a little bit further in that. It is good and pleasant. It's wonderful for us to dwell together. When you see people together, have you ever seen a couple together and it looked like they just loving up on each other? And you look at them, you say, oh, my, isn't that beautiful? I sure hope something like that happened to me. Now, isn't that what you say? Now, you know I know you say that, and because you get just a pang of jealousy, don't you, when you see it. But you shouldn't, because you don't really know what goes on behind closed doors. Now, in public, they may look like they're the perfect pair, you know, but in reality, they're not. They're fighting like cats and dogs, okay? Praise God. But ask God to give your own type of happiness, okay? Good thing. Huh? Pleasant things, all right? And then you and your partner, whoever it is, can dwell together, huh? And be at peace in all of this good stuff. You know, this is what I'm looking for today, is some of that. If you've been through a lot of turmoils in your life, and you really don't know what peace is, do you? You don't even know what it is to say, well, that's a good thing. That's love. If you never experienced it, you don't know what it is, now do you? Be honest with yourself. You don't know what love is. All I know is two people just hanging together, hand in hand, or whatever way it goes. You know, this is what we see on a constant basis. And somebody said, this is the formula for staying together. You know, each couple is different. The formula does not work for everybody. Do you get the picture? You didn't get it yet, huh? Well, let me tell you, that formula don't work for everybody. It worked for them because that's the one God gave them, huh? For their purpose together, okay? Now, we got others that are abusive and abusing, so tearing the relationship apart, see? So now the children unhappy and everybody else is unhappy. Glory be to God. Everybody is unhappy. My God. So, you know, a lot of people are not together. Every household has somebody that's fighting against it. Okay? It could be inside people and could be outside people. Fighting against the fact that they got a home to live in. Fighting against the fact that they have each other. Fighting against the fact that their children not on drugs. You know, that's the dumbest thing I ever heard of. Are you going to get mad with me because my children not on drugs and yours is? Don't you think you should find out why it's like that? What did I do wrong, Lord, in raising my child? What did they see in the house? Was I doing drugs? Huh? Was the daddy doing drugs? You find out some things before you begin to judge others and get mad with them because they look like they are living in paradise. Yes, I know. You nobody lives in paradise, do they? Well, I don't know. I don't know that many people, you know, praise God, together people. I think they together, and then I find out they ain't together. Next thing I know, people have been married 44 years, want to split. What broke it up? Huh? What got in the way? 44 years and 50 years you've been married, and all of a sudden you want a divorce. Well, something went wrong here. Something is very wrong that you haven't paid any attention to. You done stayed there 40 years or 50 years, you can stay 50 more, make the 100. See, you can go right on and make the 100. You see, you done, if he got bad habits, you got bad habits, or whoever got bad habits, if you put up with it that long, keep putting up with it, huh? Ain't no time now because the dating game ain't right out there now. Right. See, you don't know what you picking up or who you picking up. You know, he look like he's a man and he become be a woman. And then they call you, say, now they'll be start talking about you. And you don't even know. You think you got you a man. You see, so you got to watch out what you picking up today. If you bust up your little home that you thought was happy, but to you all of a sudden somebody told you that it wasn't happy. Now, those that tell you that your home is not happy, let me tell you about them. They ain't got no home. Okay? They ain't got nobody in their life, happy or bad. But they just want to do what? Want you to be miserable like them. That's all. And you buy into it. Oh, shame on you. Shame on you. We want you to get together. See, listen, there are some people give you good advice. There's some that won't. You hear what I'm saying? You've got to learn how to discern between the right and the wrong. That's why God told you to pray for that. So you can discern between right and wrong. But if you don't ask God to give you that wisdom, that knowledge, then you can't do it. You get fooled every time. Did you hear me? You get fooled. And listen, some people just ain't don't supposed to be together. Okay? But those are the ones that that want to be together with that person. You see, you can tell them from now to Jesus comes. You can say, yea, the Lord say unto you, my child, and they still going to get them. Do you get what I'm trying to tell you? Nobody want to be a real team. They don't want to do team work. See, team work meaning you're going to have to work together with somebody. And every relationship, it takes teamwork. Do you understand that? Every relationship takes teamwork. You got to work it out because, listen, there's two individuals here with different personalities. So if these two are here with these different personalities, you know, they may not match so good. So now they're going to have to work this thing out if they want it to work. And they're going to have to come together, talk to each other. Hey, I think this is what we have a problem. We don't want to talk to each other. Have you know we done got into the texting business till we don't talk to each other anymore? We probably forget what the people's voices sound like, don't we? Because everybody texts me. That's all they say is text me. Can't talk, but text me. Why you don't want to talk? What your mouth was made for? God put that tongue, that voice box in there for you to talk. Huh? Your fingers could be doing a whole lot of other things besides texting all the time. Praise God. Hallelujah. You see? Yeah. Now, listen, when they cross seeds up in the ground, they have to split them, don't they? Yeah. In order to process that to get what they want. Huh? But when they put them together, they begin to grow as one. Is that right? So we are like the seed in the ground. The people are like the seed in the ground. When they put them in and they kind of cross them up between an orange and a tangerine. You had a mandarine, right? So somebody came up with the brilliant idea to cross it. So they had to split them seeds, okay, and then plant them in the ground together. And so that they can germinate and become one. When they get together and become one, they produce a fruit. They produce something, right? See? You are no more two. You one. That's the way it is with relationships. You no more two. You become one, but you have to do what? Grow up together. Get there and just marinate there together. You just keep being together and let God do what he has to do for you to get you to be the type of fruit that you are promised to be, purposed to be. That may be a better word for you. Do you get it? Okay, I guess you got that, huh? But listen, it's time out for the church world, It's time out for us to be out of order. It's time for us to be in order. Do you hear what I'm saying now? In order. Unity brings order. Do you get the picture here? Unity brings order. Now, no one is more important than another. But for the sake of order and efficiency, there must be someone to take leadership, in everything. No business can go without a leader. Told you that before. No ball game. You got a leader in the ball game. You got one leader, then you got another leader. In case that leader, you know, become incapacitated in some way, then you got another leader to take his place. But that person has been groomed to be a leader. And when you got a leader, they got to have followers. You can't be a leader if you ain't got nobody following you. Come on, talk about it. Church has to have a leader. So you can't just come in off the street all of a sudden you want to take over. You can't do it because things has to be set in order to work efficiently. Do you get the picture? Where it's supposed to work, this is what I want you to know today. It has to be that way. God has made it that way. Now, all through the book, God has had, all through the Bible, God got leaders. So how you going to have a church with no leader? Everybody is a leader and nothing following. Now that's a madhouse. Chaos. Confusion. naturally we're going to have bickerings. We're going to have, and I think, that's me thinking, that ain't God now. I'll just tell you what I think. I think a lot of times when these, you got a choir, and the choir can't nobody be satisfied. Every time you go to rehearsal, somebody's arguing. Somebody's dissatisfied. That's wrong. And they so out of tune, can't carry a note, but they know how, that's out of tune. You see? And then they start the bickering. Why you let them sing the song, the lead? I want to sing the lead. Just because you want to don't mean you able to. See, we want to do a lot of things that we cannot do. People always want to do something they know they can't do. That's because they long-eyed, they jealous of the other person, and you think, oh, I got it going on. Somebody done told you, child, you should be in the leadership. You know, I'll tell a little story that happened. We had a guitar player in church one time, and he can't play. Now, I'm going to tell you, all he had, I call him One Note Johnny, and he just hit, he can hit one note, but the church get to jump in and the jump in, swear he playing. Girl came along, liked him, and he ain't had nobody, and told him, you know, you ought to be playing professionally. And when he told me what she said, I say, baby, why are you listening to a lie? You can't play professionally. You don't know but one note. I said, I'm sorry to bust your little bubble. I say, but look like we in trouble here. And he kept on and kept on. She kept on telling him how good he looked and everything and how good he played, and he ought to be playing and getting money to play. And he, and you know what it was? We were trying to get the young man saved and get him off of drugs and stuff. So we was going with what he can do best, give him something to do to try to occupy his mind, you know, and everything. And we had the man going for about 7 months. He was doing good. Till that woman come and fill his head full of cobwebs. And you know she drug him right on out of the church. It was so sad. I was about to cry about it. I said, but Lord, I can't. I did all I could. I said, but when a person sees something they want, they don't care about nothing else but what they want. Do you get it? And bless God, let me tell you, we heard from the young man years and years later. He was back in the drugs, asked could we come get him from where he was. He was way in somewhere else, other city or something, and want us to come get him because he want to do the right thing. I said, well, I'm sorry. I said, I'm going to pray for you, but I can't come get you. I don't know if you're ready yet since you, you know, so easy to be persuaded. Now, that's what I say, but I kept praying for him that God will show him a door that he go and stand with and stand there and be transformed, you see, because evidently what I was doing wasn't helping. Do you see what I'm saying? Sometimes you have to admit one thing. If you're not helping the person, ain't no sense you keep making their life miserable. It ain't going to do no bring division in the church. He and she or whoever going to start division. So that's the person that brought division to the church. Do you see what I'm saying? Okay. They weren't in church. So now how they found us and come there? The devil sent them. See, the devil sent people to tear up your church. You see? And in all kind of ways they do it. They do it little sneaky ways they do it. You know, I'm going to write a book on the sneaky stuff going in church, huh? And they've done some sneaky stuff to hurt the church. And then they blame you, blame the leader, because they are the leader, you see. So the leader holds a complete package of responsibility, do you see? And you want to be a leader, right? You want to be a pastor. You want to be the bishop. You want to be the pastor. You want to be all his name because it sounds like it's something to pump you up. But don't be in a hurry to get pumped up because, you know, the air can go out real easy. Somebody will punctuate that thing. And you will do what? Fall every time. But let me tell you, leadership has great responsibility. See? And then the people that they put up under them to be in the team has to be responsible people. You don't pick poor performance people to be in leadership. Their performance is terrible. You don't pick them kind of people to be in no leadership. Do you get it? You understand what I'm saying? Because you're looking for division. You're looking for chaos. You're looking for, oh, my God, you're looking for people. Every time you look, they got drama going. You can't, you get so you don't want to go to church. Because you know, here we go with another drama. Soon as you walk in the door, pastor this and pastor that, and this is happening. She said that, and they, you know, who needs that? See, who needs
amen.
All that?
Amen. Hmm?
Unity. God wants us to dwell together. That's why he told us to be careful that we don't fail in assembling ourselves together. He wants us to get to assemble ourselves together, but in what? Unity. He wants us to do it together. Do you get the picture? That's all. God wants us to do it together, not separated, not always bickering about unessential things, and we take some dumb things and start fussing over. I just don't get it. You're supposed to be a Christian. You read the Bible all the time. You can't tell me nothing. Well, why are you in church with that pastor if the pastor can't tell you nothing? I don't get that one either. Somebody, when you understand that, tell me about it, please. Because I don't get that. Why are you staying there? Are you the one that the devil sent to tear the church up? Because you're only going to stay there long enough to tear it up. When it gets tore up, you say, see, I told you it wasn't nothing. I hear people say so many times about this ministry here, oh, they ain't of God, and they ain't nothing, and they ain't this, and they ain't that. I say, well, that's your opinion, but it's not mine. And I'm not going to listen to it because I know what God called me to do. And I'm sticking with it regardless whether you like it or not. If you don't like it, there's the door. You see? Don't stand around trying to make up stuff. Don't stand around trying to tear up stuff. We building the kingdom and you trying to tear it down. Do you know what's going to become of you? I don't know. Only God knows. He handles that. Every enemy God handles, especially when you're trying to bring confusion to the body of Christ. You're trying to come in and tear up what he's building through his ministers or his pastor or apostle or whoever, and you there trying to bring chaos all the time, every time. See? And then you leave the church, and then you go to another church and do the same thing over. You know, some pastors used to ask me, what do you think about this one? What about this person here? I said, you want the truth or you want me to lie to you? Which one?
Jesus.
See? And I say, well, there are certain things you need to watch out for. Now, if you can deal with that, then they belong with you. Okay? Because I can't deal with certain things, so they don't belong with me. I send them to somebody else. But I let them know why. I know you ain't never heard that, but that's just part of me. You see, I don't want you to be fooled and say, why did you send them over here? They ain't no good. They won't do this, and they keep disturbance all the time. Maybe you can handle disturbance like that. I can. You see, I want team workers. I want people can work together with other people. Huh? And the pastor's got to know the difference, who can work with who. I like to know the person, whether they can be working with another person or not. There ain't no sense in putting them together if they ain't going to be able to work together, because they're going to do what? Break up the whole thing, cause confusion. Every time you look, somebody mouth poked out. You know, sometimes you feel like you want to get you a little switch, don't you, with some of these people. But you know you can't do that. They're not your children in that fashion, okay? And you pick out somebody who heart is right with God, that you know love God, and going to do as they are asked to do. See, you let them know what their responsibility is. Do you get the picture? This is what you do. Lay it out for them. I feel like this. Lay it out for them, okay? This is what your responsibility is. Can you handle this? Some of them will lie and say, I can handle it, and no, they can't. But you're going to have to know the difference. You as a leader are going to have that second sense to know whether they can handle it or not. And don't put people in positions just because they can to you. Folks need to stop doing that. Done ruined a lot of churches because they put their relatives in there. And the relative don't know nothing. Their heart ain't fixed with God. And they just stick them in there. Okay? Do you think that's what God is asking you to do? He's not asking you to do that. He's not telling you to put your relative in there just because. He would have left Lot there with Abraham. You see? He would have left him there. But it wasn't possible for him to do that. But think about Joseph. I love to talk about Joseph. He had that coat with many colors. Them brothers was mad. See, God had a great work for him because he knew what his heart was. His heart was with God. He didn't pick them older ones, all them other brothers and everything. He ain't picked not one of them. But he picked that one there, that special one. God had a special work for him, but he had to go through the process. They was trying to, what was they trying to do to Joseph? Slice and dice him. They're trying to get rid of him, in other words. Do you see what I'm saying? They didn't want him on the team. So they kept stuff going. And one talking to, you know, he think he did. Oh, you know this. You know, brothers and sisters do stuff like that. So God got to cipher through all of that to get to what he wants. To find the one person that will stand for him. This is what God does. That's not going to allow you to come in and separate. See? That's what God does for you, for your family. Your family, everybody in there ain't saved, and you know they ain't saved. See? And stop trying to put them up on the shelf, and you know they ain't up on that shelf. They still down up under the ship. See? Now, you got to have people that's loyal. Your family ain't loyal. You know why? Well, that's my this, and that's my sister. That's my cousin. That's my uncle. That's my aunt. I can do what I want on here. Not in the house of God, you can't. Hello? You still got to be loyal to what God has put in that ministry. Do you get the picture? Do y'all get the picture there? Loyal to it. Because anything else going to do what? Bring disunity. Anything else. People with the mouth poker. Every time they come in. You know, I like to have some happy ushers at the door. Praise the Lord. So glad you're here. Welcome. You know, when you're at the door. Ushering people in. So what are you doing? Ushering them in to some peace, love, happiness, joy, and worshiping of God. That's what you ushering them into. But if you stand up there, your mouth poked out, you mad with the world, you mad with the pastor because the pastor got you on the dope doing it and you ain't up in the pulpit, you know, it showed you can't stay at the door and do what nobody tell you. You know you ain't going to do what nobody tell you in the pulpit. Huh? You're not leadership material. So you're going to cause what? Division. Just what you do. Hmm? Is that what you want to do? I hope not today. But I hope you have been loyal to your church, loyal to your pastor, and all. See, in order to be loyal to the church, you got to be loyal to the pastor, too. I know. Amen. Well, the pastor loved this one more than she loved that, but she loved him more than she loved me. It ain't that going on. That person is doing what they are told to do, and they are responsible for their position, so they're doing it. So naturally, what is the pastor's attention is on the person that's faithful. And you just half do things. You may not even show up, and then you're going to get mad. Lord, help these people, Jesus. See, he wants you to dwell together in unity. That's not unity. You're always looking at, well, look at the pastor doing it. You're always finding fault in the pastor or the apostle or whoever. See, that's not unity. That's not togetherness. And then he wants you to do what? When you're together, he wants you also to fellowship. The Bible speaks plenty. I can go on and on in so many scriptures of that. He speaks plenty of fellowshipping. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Fellowship together. Together. Fellowshipping means together, together, together. Not you over there in your house and I'm over in my house. How are we fellowshipping? I know you're talking about text. Huh? I don't want you to text me because I don't know how to send them. Because every time I text somebody one thing and they get some other message that I didn't send. So I just say, let me leave it alone because I don't know what I'm doing. See, that's where I do with it. You can talk to me if you don't want to talk to me. That's so good. I ain't going to call you. Don't you call me if you don't want to talk. See? But we pass out inadequate information and then it causes what? Division. But it caused division. You ain't no unity there. You know people never get over all that stuff. You know that, don't you? They don't get over it. Oh, no, they don't. But let me tell you, you know, I'll go on with this. This is a pretty long message, but, you know, I'll go with some more later on again. But right now I'm going to, you know, give leeway to Pastor Sharon, let her give you her dialogue on this also. But there's plenty, plenty that could go along with this, and we'll give it to you another time, okay? And I trust that God bless you.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. We thank God for the word from Apostle Porter. The word on unity, and when you look in the dictionary, it says a state of being one or oneness. Oneness of mind, feelings, as among a number of persons, concord, harmony, or agreement. And then even when you think about the word unity, when a person is getting married and the vow, they promise, and it's a pledge or a personal commitment. In other words, in order for them to get to that state of marriage or even engaged, they had to be walking in the oneness of mind and oneness of spirit and in a spirit of agreement. In other words, you found something in that person that make the two of you into one, because even when the marriage vows, the word of God let us know you're no longer one, no longer two, but you become one, just like he and the Father is one. So he always wants us to walk in the oneness, which is the spirit of unity. And even when you walk in the spirit of unity, it could be like 100 people, but you have the one mind and the one spirit. Why? The goals are the same. You're coming to the conclusion that you got to work together. together. And we heard what the woman of God was saying. It is something that you have to work on, because there's so many different personalities, so many different ideas, so many different things. But can we put aside our differences to make this thing work, to accomplish the goal? I'm reminded about the Tower of Babel. They were on one mind. Why? We're going to build this tower. And even though there may have been different size, different ideas, it took them to come into agreement in order for the job to be done. And yes, at times, not everyone likes, you know, personalities. You know what? When we go into personalities, right, we find that our personality is actually the works of the flesh. No one really paid attention to your personalities. Actually, is the word carnal mind, your fleshly self. And we have to put away those things in order to get the job done. In the Word of God, it let us know that with God there is neither Jew nor Greek, right? Because with God, He's looking at the oneness. Can you work together to get the job done? Why? Because some people are dying daily and going to hell, and we are still having that spirit of division. And I like what the woman of God said, the mouth is poked out. Yes, we have difference of opinion, but can we work through the difference of opinion? Can we work through the disagreement? Yes, you may not, just like children. That's why the Word of God let us know we ought to be like a child, right? A child will have a disagreement. I'm not your friend no more. But you know what? They got that childlike heart. The heart is so easy to be intrigued that they can go right back and talk. But grown-ups, my God, they're so grown-up until their attitudes are grown up, and which is a hardened heart, because God tells us we can what? You can agree to disagree, not because your opinion matters more than what I got to say. We have to listen to one another in another, come into the middle ground to get the job done. So today we know that unity is also decoration. When we speak the Word of God, we're declaring the works of God over our life. We're coming into the oneness of what God's words say. Why? God say you are blessed. You say, I am blessed. Why? You're agreeing with His word. So you're coming into the oneness in Him to declare that word of God. Prayer is what? You're coming into agreement, believing that God can move on the behalf of whatever the situation may be. Why? Because you're going back to the covenant, the promise that He has given Abraham, and then you say, what, I'm a part of what, the seed of Abraham. You become in oneness in Him in order to allow the healing or the blessing to come forth in you. Remember, come to 1 Peter 3 verse 8 says, finally, be ye all of one mind, having compassion one of another, love as brethren, to be prideful, be courteous. So in other words, it takes work. It takes work. It takes work. And yes, you can get upset. Yes, you can disagree. But can we work together still? Because even in a relationship, the woman of God was talking about, people see other people and say, oh, I want this and I want that. But are you willing to work? Are you willing to give up your way of thinking and coming into agreement with your spouse? Are you willing to listen? Is my way or no way? Are you willing? It takes work. And what you're seeing is that spirit of peace. Why? Because peace is also a spirit of unity. You cannot work with to have that spirit of peace if, like, the spirit of confusion is all around. We forget that we are spiritual beings, right? So when people meet you, they can tell, because we recognize spirit, right? So you can recognize if that spirit of confusion is around, something is a little bit off with them today. What it is, they just had a disagreement. So they have to come up, get rid of the this part now, and are coming to agreement in order to get the work done. Poor children, my God, in a house confusion, children usually suffer. And we don't think about it, right? We don't think about the long-lasting effect that have on that the children go through, because they'll learn also not to how to play. Just like my grandbaby, we had to teach him how to what? Share. So he can be what? In unity. When it's time to go to daycare, he can't say, that's my toy, don't touch it. He has to learn how about to what? Share. Right. Because we're teaching him what's unity. So know that this is something that the Word of God come to teach us, that we are to be what? In unity, have the spirit of peace around us. And yes, we're not saying that we're not going to have a disagreement. We all do. But according to Psalm 133, verse 1 said, behold, how good and pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. Now, brethren is what? I believe is the people all around you. How we can what? Be what? How good and pleasant it is to dwell together in unity. It's pleasant. Laughter can come forth. You may go in down, but when you leave, you're uplifted. Sometimes you got to just forget about your problems, forget about what just happened, and go within to inside of you to the kingdom of peace and let it manifest all around you. Let the light of God come forth in you. In other words, we have to cast down imagination and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, so you can have that peace, that you can be one with Christ. You can be one with whatever around you. Can't you know when a person is know who they are, their identity in Christ, they can walk in a room and what? That you can recognize that they got it going on. Why? Because they have that spirit of peace on them. They know their identity. They don't have to be threatened by outside force. Why? Because they got the powerful force on the inside, which is the Holy Spirit. He let us know that we are greater. The greater man is living on the inside. So when you know who you are in Christ Jesus, you can walk with that spirit of what? People say confidence, but I believe it's the power of God inside of you. And when they look at it, they recognize the anointing. They recognize the power on the inside, that dunamis power, that power that only comes from the Spirit of God, or from you spending time with God. That's what they see on all around you. So why not come into unity with that power? There is no other higher power but Jesus Christ today. So instead of coming into disagreement and attaching yourself to confusion, let's reverse that thing today and say, you know what? I need to be at peace. I need to walk in an agreement. Why? Because God promised us he's a covenant-keeping God, and I must always remember that he wants us to walk in a covenant. Covenant mean what? In agreement with what his words say. A covenant mean agreement with what? This manifestation of his Holy Spirit. You cannot allow jealousy to come forth. You cannot allow hatred to come forth. You cannot allow bitterness to come forth. Why? Because that does not go with what God is saying today. As he and the Father is one, we are to be one today. So today, make you change your way of thinking and know that you are someone in Christ Jesus. You can ask him to what? Heal you from the inside out, so the spirit of peace be all around you. Remember now, God is peace today, right? And we ought to have the fruit of the Spirit, and one of it is what? Peace. So allow peace to arise in your heart today. And we were chuckling when the woman of God said, I don't text because I want to hear your voice. Now, you come on now. If a husband keep on texting you and say, I love you, baby, after a while you say, wait a minute. I want to hear your what? Voice. Because texting, it could be an imitator texting and sending the word, I can't see, but when I hear your voice, I know who you are. You identify the person with what? The voice. So what? And the sound that is coming forth. Why? Because you feel connected to that person. So today we are to just pay attention and know that God wants us to walk in the spirit of harmony. Remember your vows now. The woman of God was saying, stay another 50 years. I say, people breaking up, I say, Lord have mercy, because they have to keep on praying and say, God, I need your help. Oh, you got to fall down on your knees and say, Lord, you got to change me on the inside out, because they get what? Fed up. They get weary in enduring. They get weary in standing on in the gap all these years. But today, know that Jesus died for your sin. He came and he suffered, and he's what? He longs suffering today. So remember today. I see also a lot of people keep saying in this century, I don't have to go to church. I am the church. the building I am. Yes, we are the temple of the Lord Jesus Christ, right? We are the temple. But see how good and pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together. You don't know what you have on the inside that will help someone to move on. Remember, you have a testimony. So if you come together and we come into one place, you can share that testimony that will help the person. Remember today, he wants us to do what? Come together. Come together. He told us to come unto him, right? Bring all your heavy burden to him. He is. His yoke is easy and his burden is light. We still had to come to him. Now, you couldn't do it on your own. We had to come to the one that have all authority in his hand. We had to come to the one that have the spirit of peace and love and joy in order for us to have it. Why? Because when we accepted him as Lord and Savior, we come into the oneness. Why? We say, you know what, Lord? I agree with what you say. I agree I am a sinner. I agree that if I believe in your name, I'll be saved. I'm coming in agreement with your word today, and I'm taking off the old man and I'm putting on the new man. Why? Because I'm coming in agreement with your word today. So today, remember now, it's God wants us to walk in the spirit of oneness and in unity. Let have a harmonious condition all around you. Let the harmony of God be around you. It's time now to connect and forgive and let go and let God this day. Why? Because he's a God of peace, and we want to be one with him. Remember, he sees all, he knows all. You may not say, well, I don't have to. Yes, it is your job to allow the peace to come forth. Separation doesn't mean I'm keeping the peace. No, separation means you're avoiding the situation. Why? But when you're in the midst, right, you're in the mix, associated with one another, that's when you know that the peace of God is in you. Why? Because you won't react to what's going all around you. So be blessed and know that God is on your side. Know that the greater man on the inside, you can do all things through him that give you the strength. So be blessed and remember, unity is what? Oneness. Be one as the Father. It's a state of being one and oneness. It's a state of being one and oneness as among a number of persons. So you can't just say, I'm just sticking with my best friend. No, with oneness, with what? With persons. They have S's on it. So today, you got to do it, and I got to do it. Be blessed.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I tell you, that was an awesome word from Apostle Porter and Pastor Sharon. Unity. We have to learn to dwell in unity, in oneness. You tune in every Wednesday and Thursday to Blog Talk Radio. That call-in number is 347-857-3925. That's every Wednesday and Thursday at 9 a.m. You can also tune in to blogtalkradio.com/timetotalkaboutit and listen to each and every segment that Apostle Porter has put out there. I tell you, some awesome listening. Now, I want you all to save this day because it's next week. Now, next week, October 13th and 14th at 7 p.m., come and get that encounter with Apostle Aaron Wheeler, hosted by none other than the City of Victory Apostle and Bishop Porter. Come expecting to hear the word. Come expecting just to be even set free in this time. I tell you, that address is 31325 CR 437, also known as Plymouth Sorrento Road, Sorrento, Florida, 32776. Again, that's October 13th and 14th at 7 p.m. That's Friday and Saturday, so come on out, enjoy yourself in the Lord, and that address is 31325 CR 437, also known as Plymouth Sorrento Road, Sorrento, Florida, 32776.
Also, every Friday night, we have the Wailing Walls prayer line hosted by our very own Elder Whitted. That calling number is 218-548-6746, code 3333-POUND. That's 218-548-6746, code 3333-POUND. So come on, let's tear the devil kingdom down and take back everything that we have allowed the enemy to steal from us. So remember now, that's tomorrow night at 11 p.m. So go ahead, be blessed, and remember to dwell in unity today.
On my mind, searching for that peace, the peace I could not find. Then I kneel down to pray, pray, help me please. Then he said, you don't have to cry, 'cause I'll supply all your needs.
As soon as I stop worrying,
I stop worrying,
worrying how the story ends.
When I let go,
I let go,
and I let
God,
let him have,
let God have his way.
That's when things,
that's
start,
when things
happening.
Start happening. I stop looking at back then.
When I let go,
I let go,
and
I let God,
let him have. So much going on. Sometimes I can't find my way, and oftentimes I struggle, struggle from day to day. I have to realize that it's not my battle, it's not my battle to fight. I have to know if I put it in his hands,
let God,
he can handle it all.